Welcome to the King's Church podcast. We are an ACC church based on the Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. We'd love for you to join us on any given Sunday. In the meantime, we hope this message blesses you.
For those I haven't met yet, my name is Scott Blakemore. Fun fact, my favourite subject I studied at uni was either genocide or military strategy. And that's genuinely not a lie. I love both of them. But I'm a nice person. I just enjoy studying the bad stuff. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. Oh, dear. Criminology. That's what she's studying. I really needed to preface that. Before I get into the message for tonight, I want to let the young adults in the room know that we have a special event coming up in just over a week. So on the 21st of September, that's a Tuesday night, we're going to come together here at Reedy Creek, and we've got an incredible experience that's got to be on that night. We're calling it an audience, and as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the definition of that term is when you're invited to meet with royalty. And what we want to do on this night is we want to meet Jesus, our King. And so this isn't going to be a night of, you know, three songs and a 10-minute message and then a prayer and then you leave. What we've actually done is we've weaved the worship and the word together. We've got this encounter where you're going to come in. We've got like five or six songs. We've got different points that we're going to look to. But the whole purpose of the night is for you to meet Jesus. And I know some of you will be going on missions in the coming week, and then some of you have conference the week after. And this perfectly fits right in the middle for you to come get recharged and then to go and do your thing. But for everyone who's a young adult, we want you there. We're going to start at 7 o'clock. We'll have some food for you, little snacks, and then we're going to enjoy God's presence together. And I can't wait to see you there. That's coming up Tuesday, the 21st of September. We're really looking forward to it. So I hope to see you there. I'm really excited. And I'm also excited about tonight. Tonight's word that I'm bringing you tonight, the title of it actually comes from people that you'd know. There's people in this church that use this phrase so often. In fact, Riley used it this morning. I saw him out in the cafe. He comes up to me. He's like, "G'day, champion." It's something you'd expect Riley to say, or maybe one of the Gallaghers. The message for tonight is, "Hey, champ." And what I want to talk about is aspects of Jesus as our champion. What does it mean when we see that Jesus is our champion? And how does that relate to us and our life? You're going to have to forgive me. I'm going to be a little bit of a nerd for a minute. I looked into the etymology of the word champion, just its derivatives. What does it mean? At its original usage, champion means fighter, means gladiator. But around 1300, we actually see that the shape of the word starts to change, and it starts to mean someone who fights on behalf of someone or to defend something. Someone who fights on behalf of someone or to defend something. Think of an image of, like, if you've seen that movie, Troy. Achilles goes and stands in front of the army, defends the army. It's essentially this champion who represents the army and fights on their behalf to see victory. You might see different examples through history of this. For example, something like David and Goliath. It harkens back to this idea in Greek culture of hero warfare. But think about this idea that someone goes forward before you to represent your interests in battle. Someone goes ahead of you to represent and defend your interest in battle. You don't go and fight yourself, but a champion goes before you and takes the battle. And not only that, the term champion has a connotation of winning. It has a connotation of victory. The champion goes before you and wins. There's times in Scripture and even in the songs that we're worshiping recently where we're hearing that Jesus is our champion. Think about what that word means now and apply it to Jesus. That there's someone who goes before you to defend you and to win victory on your behalf. Jesus goes before us to defend us and earn victory on our behalf. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. The first thing I want you to know is you have a champion. You have someone who is going before you. You have someone who has won victory on your behalf. Now, humor me, I'm going to talk about a time that I traveled because I haven't done it in so long, so I need this just to remember a simpler time. But I remember once I went down to Melbourne, went into a hotel, and a friend of mine actually worked for the same hotel chain. He found out when I was going and when I was staying, I didn't know that he did this, but he called up the hotel and he said, "Now, I've got a very important guest of mine coming. I need you to look after him. This is his room number. This is when he'll be here. So if you could just sort something out." And I walk in, there's this massive cloche underneath this incredible cheese board. There's bottles of things around it. I didn't ask for any of it. this guy just sent a message, sent an email, and suddenly one of the drinks there, I was curious, I searched it up, $190. I was like, alrighty, come on now. Because someone that I knew went before me to provide something that I never asked for, right? And I just needed to talk about that because I had a good time. I'm just remembering what it was like to travel. And some of you people are going to places like Tasmania. I think it's rude. I think it's rude that you're doing it without me. But I want you to think about that in the context of Jesus. He's going before you to secure your victory. You have a champion. You have someone that can go and represent you, represent your needs, and earn victory on your behalf. There's a couple of scriptures that come to mind when I think about this. Hebrews 12:2 in the New Living Translation actually uses the word champion that I love. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. In other translations, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. He went and he fought that battle being life and death, that battle being the sacrifice for atonement of our sins. He went and he fought that on our behalf. He considered it joy to represent us, to defend us when we didn't deserve it. He considered it joy to champion and defend our cause, even when we didn't see it. He is our champion. And he does it then and he does it now. He is authoring, he's perfecting, he's working through this process, constantly working on our behalf as he did at that time, offering us salvation. In fact, he had talked to his disciples and he had talked to them about their commission, what they needed to do in the world, and at a time where people were coming against Jesus and his teaching, and of course the disciples who were following him, many issues that they had to confront, and there's stories of the scripture of Jesus being driven out of towns by angry mobs and people wanting to seek his death. But he actually says to his disciples in John 16, he says point blank, he says, do not worry, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus knew then that we'd need that confidence. Jesus knew then that often in our life where things seem difficult or seem challenging or we can't make sense of what's going on, he's showing us that a part of his character, a part of his nature as our Savior is as a champion, that he's gone before us. And what that means is you and I can have confidence. You and I can take heart because Jesus is our champion. And that's the first point I wanted to share with you tonight, that Jesus, he is your champion. Now, the second point, when we hear about champion, we often think about sport, people winning great events. Maybe some of you watched the US Open this morning. I doubt it, though. I don't think anyone here likes tennis. It's all good, all good. As you can tell by my figure, I don't play sport. And I wish I had a story. You know how some people get up and like, but when I was young, I represented Australia, and I didn't do that either. I think I've said this twice. I once trialed to rep at a basketball team, but the thing was, I wasn't good at basketball. I was just abnormally tall. So that was an issue. And in fact, in the warm-up drill, I knocked someone out because I turned the wrong direction. And I got a really thick skull, and he ran into it, and then he lost a tooth, and then he was on the floor. And I was like, oh, I don't think I'm making the team. And then, the other time I'm thinking about this, you think about people that sort of cheer you on the sides, and people get impassioned, and they're supporting you from the sidelines. I once played in a basketball comp, and my grandfather was over from New Zealand. It was the first time he'd come to see me play. Obviously, from New Zealand, a very rugby-hungry culture. And he came and he was cheering me on. He's like, yeah, that's right, Scotty. Give him an elbow. Yeah. It was the first time I ever got fouled off. It was the first time I ever got sent off was when my grandfather was watching. And I was nervous to look to him and him go, oh, you've disappointed the family name. Something sage-like that. But he was like, you show him how us Kiwis do it. He was really pumped. So he was cheering me on to violence, I don't know. Some of you might know Alicia Green, the little good old netball coach. She once, and this is no word of a lie, I play mixed netball. Guess what position? The one you don't have to run in. I play that, and she came once to watch along, and I'll tell you why. She genuinely said, because she thought it would be funny. And she came along to lift her spirits and boost her mood. And I provided that for her. She cheered out to me at one point. She goes, you know, Scott, if you moved your feet, you'd get the ball. And she's right. I can't deny it. In this culture of sport, we often see that people are encouraging, they're championing. Not only do you have a champion, but there is an active form of the word champion, which means that you can champion others, that someone is championing you. In the case of my grandfather, even Alicia, maybe not constructive, still correct, but maybe not constructive in the way that I needed it. But I want to encourage you tonight that you have people championing you. There are people in your life that are cheering you on. The first and foremost, we're told in the scripture that I mentioned earlier in Hebrews 12, that we're surrounded. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That whole passage shows this sort of image of a race, of people, soldiers, athletes who are running to get to that end goal. But I love the fact that the writer here isn't just saying that you need to run, but the writer's saying, don't worry, there's people around you who have done it and they are cheering you on. There's another passage in Hebrews, the great hall of faith, these incredible people throughout scripture who did miraculous things in the name of Jesus because of the faith they had in him. And the point of this is to say that those same people and their testimony, it's cheering you on. It's cheering you on in your testimony, in your life and what you're doing. This wasn't meant to be a walk that we do alone, and Jesus was very clear in that. He wants you to know that he's got your back. And not just him, but the testimony of those that have gone before us. They're there to remind us that you can do it, that you can run the race, that you can cross that finish line, that you can get the goal. We're not doing this alone, but there are those that are championing us. And I think, importantly, like I said in that first point, not only is Jesus your champion, the one who goes before you, but he still to this day continues to champion in your part. It says in Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Not only did Jesus go and overcome the grave, overcome death, give us a way back to the Father, provide us with salvation and the forgiveness of our sins, but he actively now intercedes on our behalf to the Father. This is incredibly powerful. We don't serve a God who's inactive, who's watching and observant and thinking, well, can't wait for them to make a mistake. We serve a God who by his Son Jesus is able to say, you can do this. I can forgive you, I can help you, I can lift your burden, I give you my care, I give you my support, I give you my healing, I give you my peace. We serve a Jesus who actively engages with where we are in our life so that we're never left alone, that we're never left abandoned. And in our greatest struggle, we're encouraged that we can finish the race that was set before us. And I think that's so incredibly powerful, particularly in this day and age. I want you to know that Jesus is your champion, but he continues to champion you. But when that happens, what's our response? What does that mean for us now, where we are in our life? What we're seeing around the world right now, it's quite dramatic. It's quite difficult. And I was looking over some of the statistics about the way that people have been dealing, essentially, with COVID and lockdowns and pandemics and things like that. I'm not saying these stats that I'm about to in a way to bring the mood down or make things heavy, but I'm telling you that there's a need in our community, there's a need in the world around us, and there's a need for people to encounter what Jesus has to offer. And I think there's probably people in this room even tonight that have found the last year and a half incredibly challenging with its own difficulties. And maybe even as you look forward in your life, there's a weight and anxiety that comes attached to it because you're not really sure what's going to happen or how we're going to get through it. Well, I want to let you know that the most important thing you can do is remember that you have a champion. You have someone who's fighting on your behalf, and you have someone who's actively interceding on your behalf even now. I think about these statistics and some that came from the Australian Bureau of Statistics in July 2021. At this time, 1 in 5 Australians report high or very high levels of psychological distress. In particular, young people, women and those with disability are reporting as the most affected. During snap lockdown situations, as has been seen in Sydney and in Melbourne in particular, that number rises from 20% to 33%. During the Sydney lockdown in June, 28% of adults reported feelings of nervousness, and at the peak of Victoria's lockdown, 45.7%. of people admitted to being nervous about their future. During lockdowns, 1 in 3 young Australians, that's between 18 and 34 years old, report to high and very high levels of psychological distress. And I speak to people in this room who may have encountered that. Obviously, we look at what's happening in the news, and I'll be honest with you, there's a chance that something like that might happen again. Now, we're praying and believing that God will protect and guard his people. We're praying and believing that God will give wisdom to our leaders. But I believe as well that you and I are in a unique position, that the 1 in 3 young Australians who are suffering with anxiety and stress and depression as a result of uncertainty and isolation can find hope and joy and love and acceptance in the people of God. I believe that when the world suffers, the church can be at its brightest. I believe that when people suffer, the people of God can be the brightest. And I believe that right now there is a very specific attack to young people in the form of uncertainty and isolation. That when we have to lock down, there's people even here that you might find yourself for a long period of time alone. And that might cause a lot of distress, depression, anxiety, and so on. There's other people here who, because of the challenges of the world, you know, it's hard to apply for jobs. It's hard to think of studying. It's hard to think of what might happen in the future. But I need to remind you, if that is you tonight, that your champion is still your champion because he overcomes the world. He's overcome everything in the world, and he still does so to this day. Is Jesus intimidated by COVID? I don't think so. Is he intimidated by lockdowns? I don't think so. Is he intimidated by shrinking job markets in certain sectors? I don't think so. I think he's still our champion. I think he still sits in a position of authority, and I think he still cares about his people enough to intercede on their behalf. You know, this was something that was quite real in my own life. Toward the end of last year, I found that the classes that I was teaching were starting to, the opportunities for teaching were starting to shrink, given the size of the students that were there. And I found myself having to make this decision. Well, I think I got to leave my job. As I told some of you, one of the staff that was with me there said, if you do this, you've got to shoot yourself in the foot. You don't know how bad the market is. But there was something in me that just knew that God was calling me somewhere else. There was some confidence in me that I had a champion moving before me to provide victory in that area. And a couple of weeks later, I got a message from my now boss, who was my supervisor at the time, didn't work with me at the time, but she sort of contacted me. She goes, oh, I've got this job for you 4 days a week if you want it for the rest of the year. I said, I do want it, I'll have it. And from that, The opportunity that's come from that, I'm now overemployed. I've got something like 6 different roles, but about 9 months ago, I had literally nothing. I had literally nothing. And not only did I have nothing, I had people around me telling me I was stupid to put myself in that position. But now, I see the provision and favour of God. Was it hard? Yeah. Did I see God? To be honest, not always, but I wasn't always looking. But is he my champion? Yeah. Did he go before me? Yeah. Is he still on the throne? Yeah. Is he interceding? Yeah. There's people in this room who those statistics you might find quite confronting because you might identify as one of those 33%. But tonight, I believe that I'm here to tell you that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He gave you a spirit of a sound mind. This isn't in my notes, but to talk about the idea of anxiety and depression, the challenge with it is it's often unseen. It's the weight that you feel before you go to sleep. It's the thing that holds you up while you can't sleep. It's the reason why when you get in a stressful situation, you find yourself short of breath. It's the clouding of your mind so you don't have clarity, you can't see thought. It's a hidden enemy, and it's hard because other people can't see it. But you know when you're carrying it because everything else is exhausting. You know when it's on your mind because you can't see anything else. Jesus came to give you a spirit of a sound mind. He calls himself the King of Peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. The battle that you battle alone, you don't need to fight anymore. Because there is a God who stands on your behalf to take that burden away from you. The battle that you battle that no one else sees, the thoughts that you think that no one else knows, the times that you cry because you're so exhausted, you don't need to carry that burden anymore. You have a champion who wants to take that weight from you. You have a Lord and a Savior who wants you to experience peace. You have a Lord and a Savior who promises you a sound mind. We don't need to fight this fight alone. We need to turn to our Savior who will give us rest. Tonight, if that's you, I want you to know we're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe that tonight, for the first time in months, you have a sound sleep. That tomorrow when you wake up and you go to work, you'll breathe clearly. That when you sit through that meeting, you won't feel overwhelmed, you won't be overcome, but you will have confidence and strength in the person of God who goes before you. But if that isn't you who's experiencing that, then know that one in three people are. And we, like Jesus, can be peace to them, can be joy to them, can be love to them, and can be kindness to them. We can also champion. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you continue to do. In Romans 15, it says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. In Ephesians 1:16, Paul gives us a clear principle. He says this, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. You are in a position where if you're being championed by God and you know that Jesus is your champion, you know that he's interceding on your behalf and you have confidence and faith in that, there are people around you who aren't feeling that confidence. In the weeks to come, there might be change. I don't know. There might be a lockdown. I don't know. I certainly hope not. But in that case, I'm going to remind myself that Jesus is still on the throne, that my champion goes before me, and that if there are people in my life that need it, I will give them hope. I will give them joy. I will encourage them to peace. I will show them life through Jesus. And as the team come up, we're going to worship in a moment, but it's a simple thing to do what Jesus did. It might just be a text message at the start of someone's day, just saying, hey, you've been on my mind, just want you to know I'll be praying for you today. It's maybe as simple as asking someone, is there something I can do to help? Might be as simple as offering to pay for someone's groceries or just to send them a meal one night. It might be as simple as spending time with someone who might feel alone or isolated. I want you to know you're not doing this alone. And I want you to know that if you can be there for someone in their most difficult, isolated, uncertain circumstances, you have the same mind as Christ. Tonight, I've asked the team to lead us in the song Champion. It's on brand. And what we're going to do in that time, in that song, what I'd love for you to do is just realize in those songs, in those lyrics, it's painting this picture of Jesus as our champion, the one who has victory. And if you're feeling uncertain, if you're feeling pressure about what's coming up next, if you're feeling a bit of fear and intimidation, then when we worship through this song, I want you to think, Jesus is my champion. If there's something that you can't see the result to yet, you can't see what's at the end of the tunnel, I want you to remind yourself that Jesus is championing you, that he is interceding on your behalf even now. And for those of you in the room that are feeling confident, encouraged, and stirred up through this, I want you to see the image of what Jesus is doing and be inspired to be that this week. Be that to your friends, your family, those in your workplace, those who need the love and the peace and the rest of Jesus. Let us be people that show that. Let us be people that encourage that and inspire that in those around us. If things change in the coming weeks, remind yourself straight away, God is still on the throne. God is still going before you, and God is still interceding on your behalf. And if they don't change, it's still the same. We serve an incredible God who loves us and has turned toward us. So tonight, let's worship him. Let's praise him. Let's adore our champion, and let's let our champion intercede for us. Can I ask you to stand tonight? And just before we go into worship, on that point that I was talking about earlier, the fear of isolation, uncertainty, intimidation, perhaps it's that depression, anxiety, it's high levels of stress because of what's happening in the world around you. Again, let me remind you that God came to give you a spirit of a sound mind, not of one of fear, but of a sound mind. I'm no psychiatrist, I can't change you, but I know that the Holy Spirit can. That the burden that you're feeling right now, supernaturally by the power of God, can affect you no longer. I know that those of you who are struggling with the weight and the darkness of these times, in one moment, God can show you peace. So if everyone could just close their eyes tonight, just to, out of respect for those around you. If there is anyone in this room, when I was speaking to those points, you're feeling that anxiety, that depression, that weight, that uncertainty, could you just raise your hand? Because I'd love to pray for you. If there's anyone in the room tonight who's been feeling that, who's feeling intimidated about decisions and things of the future, why don't you raise your hand? It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of loss. It's just a sign to say, you know, God, I'm standing with you and I'm believing with you now. Church, it's where you are. Let's pray together. Ask your church to lift up your voice and pray for these people who need a touch from God. I thank you in the name of Jesus that fear, anxiety, depression, by your name, God, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for release. I thank you for the spirit of the sound mind to come across your church even now. I thank you for the battles and the burdens that those are facing. And I thank you even now, God, you're reminding them that you are with them, that you go before them, that you intercede on their behalf. I thank you for something supernatural tonight as we worship, like waves of water washing over your people, that you're taking away the burdens, you're taking away the pain, you're taking away the hurt, you're taking away the darkness, you're taking away the intimidation, that as we turn our eyes to you, God, as we lift our eyes to you, that our countenance will lift, that our vision will lift, and that our spirit will lift, that God, tonight, as we see you exalted, that you will lift us up out of the darkness and you will bring us into your light. And I thank you for that tonight. Jesus, as we begin to worship you now, I thank you that your presence will be here. I thank you, God, that you indeed are our champion, that you go before us, and because of that, we give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. We thank you, Jesus, that you go before us. We thank you, Jesus, that right now you're an authority working on our behalf. I thank you, Jesus, that you're making a way where there is no way. I thank you, Jesus, that you're opening doors that no man could open. I thank you, Jesus, that jobs will come available. I thank you, Jesus, that decisions will become clear. I thank you, Jesus, that families will be restored. I thank you, Jesus, that there won't be anxiety, but there will be rest. I thank you, Jesus, that people will sleep soundly in your presence. I thank you, Jesus, that your word will become clear to your people. I thank you, Jesus, that those will return home to salvation. I thank you, Jesus, that we are never alone, that we are never forsaken, but you are with us every step of the way. I thank you, Jesus, that you are our champion. We worship you tonight, Lord.
Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for new messages weekly. You can keep updated on what's happening in the life of King's Church by following us on social media at King's Church GC. Be blessed.